So glad today to have my grandparents, Paul and Edith Chapel, here. Of course, I was named after my granddad. I won't make them stand again, but would you raise your hand, granddad, so they'll know generally where you're at, granddad and grandmother. And I've learned so much of God's Word driving around those bean fields and having my granddad preach to me. And what a joy to have such a Christian heritage. And I'm glad that they're here with us today. Then my Uncle Lyle and Aunt Arlene. Uncle Lyle, if you'd just raise your hand right there, and Aunt Arlene, I'd like folks to see you and where you're at. Pastored for 31 years in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm just delighted. Would you join me in welcoming them today and letting them know you're glad they're here? Let's stand together today and take our Bibles as we turn to the Scriptures now for our Scripture reading time. Today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Last Sunday morning, we studied 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This morning, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, going through this chapter and learning about the grace of giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read together and just follow with me, please, verses 1 through 8. And then for the sake of time, I'll read verse 15 as well. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous or unnecessary for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest, haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, speaking, of course, about the offering for the churches of Judea. We, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that you would today take this time now around the Bible, bless it and use it in our lives, strengthen us and prepare us for the great and mighty things to come. And Lord, most of all, if there's one here without Jesus, we pray that today they would come to that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we noted that the ministry of the Apostle Paul encompassed many unique and challenging objectives. We saw that the Apostle Paul had many responsibilities. One of those responsibilities was to take up special offerings for the needs of the early church. And last week we saw that he was telling the Corinthians about the sacrifice of the churches in Macedonia or northern Greece. And as he wrote to the church at Corinth here in 2 Corinthians, he was basically telling them, look, the churches in northern Greece, they have really gotten into this project and they're sacrificing beyond themselves to help get the job done. Today, when we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see that he has also been telling the Macedonians that the Corinthians were going to do their part. And he had been telling them in verse number 2, I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them at Macedonia. And so basically, here's what Paul was doing. First of all, he was going to Corinth, and he was saying, if we could let Pastor Schmidt represent the church at Corinth, he was saying, you know, you guys have got to do a good job, and I know you will. I know you've been getting ready. I know you've been saving, because the churches over here in Macedonia, they have done an outstanding job. These churches over here in northern Greece, they have done their part. By the way, Paul was also saying, listen, the reason you've got to do a good job is because the church at Corinth has done such a great job. They're getting ready. They're so excited about it. They're going to do a great job, so that's why you've got to do a great job. Excuse me. You've got to get a part of this, because the church is over here in northern Greece. You can't believe what they're doing. They're giving beyond themselves. And Paul is going back and forth telling both of them to get excited to do a part of the work of God. Thank you. You may be seated. So we see in chapter 8, he's telling the Corinthian church what the Macedonian church had done. And in chapter 9, he's telling the Corinthian church that he'd been telling them the same thing. He's encouraging God's people. He's going around speaking of the needs in that first century church and challenging people to be a part of the job. Now, I suppose the Apostle Paul could have considered the best ways to encourage God's people to be a part of this sacrificial gift and this special offering being taken. He could have thought of many ways to try to get the message across as smoothly as possible. He could have, for example, said, I'm going to lock myself in a tower until you give $6 million, and I'm not coming out until you give it. He could have tried that approach. Some have tried it. He could have used other lines and ways of introducing the theme. He could have used the famous line that the nurse always uses on me before the injection time. This won't take long, but it will sting a little. Let's talk about giving now. He could have tried a lot of different approaches. But you see, Paul didn't really try all of those novel approaches or even death-defying approaches. You see, to the Apostle Paul and to all mature believers, there is no sting involved in giving. It's not a hurtful thing or a harmful thing or something to get all upset or uptight about. To the Apostle Paul, it was just a normal part of the Christian life. In fact, Paul called it one of the Christian graces. When he spoke about giving, he referred to it as a grace of the Christian life. Now, by grace, we simply mean that it was a spiritual desire placed in the hearts of the believers by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, Paul knew, as I know this morning, I cannot coerce you or convince you or twist your arm to do the very best that you can do. I can never come close to doing what the Holy Spirit can do as He works inside of your heart. And as He causes you, as a Christian of little faith or weak faith or even great faith this morning, to grow in that faith, to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul talked to them about this special offering, in fact, he very seldom used the word offering or collection. He used the word or the term grace. We see that in chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we remind you, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He says in verse number 6 of that same chapter, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so would he also finish in you that same grace also. Notice in verse 7, therefore as ye abound in everything, the Corinthian church abounded in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye should abound in this grace also. Paul said you're doing good in all the areas of the Christian life. You're coming to church, you're learning, you're learning how to teach, you're growing in these areas. He says, I want you to do well in this area too. I want you to have a well-rounded Christian life. Grow in that grace. Then in chapter 9, where we'll be studying this morning, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And so here we see again a continuing chapter on the subject of grace giving. Giving from a heart that is growing in grace. This morning I would like to share with you three things about grace giving. Notice if you would, first of all today, that grace giving is always prepared giving. We're prepared to be involved in grace giving. In verse 5, Paul says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, I sent some messengers your way that they would come and remind you of the need and get you ready for the special offering. He said, you need to be preparing, you need to get prepared for what we're doing here for the churches in Judea. Paul had sent them ahead to Corinth to encourage them to prepare. They were out telling folks of the need and reminding them to get ready. And he encouraged them to prepare what the Bible calls in verse 5, a bounty. Now, when we think of the word bounty, we think of a John Wayne movie, Bounty Hunters, you know, and we think of that terminology. But the term bounty, as defined by Webster, means liberality in bestowing gifts. Liberality in bestowing gifts. So he says, I sent the messengers to tell you to get ready to liberally give your gift and to be a part of the special offering that is being collected. Paul was encouraging them to prepare because the needs were great in the early church. Christians were suffering, churches were suffering, and there were needs that had to be addressed, and so they needed to prepare if anything great was going to get done. It couldn't be a last minute, oh yeah, I'll see what I can do. It had to be preparing and going ahead and getting ready for this great task. By the way, the needs in the Antelope Valley today are great and getting greater. Just drive down and around the streets and you'll notice signs everywhere of a community needing a strong lighthouse for Jesus Christ, a place where the Word of God is preached without compromise. And this ministry has needs that are growing daily. In 1994, and please try to capture this in your mind, in 1994, 1% of all churches grew by 10% in attendance. So to be in the top one percentile of growing churches in America in 1994, there needed to be a mark of 10% church growth to be in the top one percentile. Now, I don't know about where you went to school, but whenever you were in the top one percentile of anything when I was in school, you were doing pretty good. In 1994, only 1% of all churches grew by 10%, and in 1994, Lancaster Baptist Church grew by 34%. Amen. Folks, you stop and look at that, you begin to see what's going on, and you realize that from time to time, God's hand of blessing is poured out in a special way, and it requires God's people in a special way to grow in grace and to give in faith so that those blessings will continue to come forward. For the Bible says that God loves our faith, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. And so we need to grow in grace. We need to prepare the bounty or the offering, as Paul said to the church of Corinth. He encouraged them to prepare a bounty. We're being encouraged to do the same. And their offering was not to be something of covetousness. Notice in verse 5 he says, and not of covetousness. In other words, he says, I don't want something that you're just going to squeeze out. I don't want something you're just going to give reluctantly. All right, bless God, they're bugging me to buy a ticket, bugging me to go, bugging me to be a part. I'll just do something. He says, no, I want you to really prepare in your heart to do something intentionally that will glorify God. Grace giving is always a prepared type of giving, or Christians who are prepared to give. And our preparation should be bountiful in nature. Notice in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Notice in verse 13, the last part of the verse. He says, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. When Paul talks about liberal distribution, he doesn't mean their doctrine was going wacky. He means that they were generously being involved in meeting the need of the first century church. And this is a church that, if the Lord tarries in his coming, will minister into the 21st century. And there is the Bible principle today to prepare for the need at hand. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It would be wise for God's people to grow in grace in their hearts, to be prepared by the Holy Spirit of God, so that as the opportunity comes, we will give bountifully and we will be blessed bountifully as well. You see, it is scriptural to prepare bountifully. Many of our members have been preparing for months and months and months for Friday night, March the 17th. Many have been involved in saving, many of us. Many have been looking at accounts, and many have been involved in garage sales, and others have been involved in various different things, selling things. Why? Just getting ready and saying, Lord, as you are more and more important in my heart, other things are less and less important, and I want to just be a part of seeking first the kingdom of God. And listen, getting ready is a scriptural principle. Grace giving involves being prepared. Secondly, grace giving is not only prepared, it is purposeful. It is full of purpose. Notice in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Every man purposing in his heart. Deuteronomy 16, 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given to thee. You see, God's work of grace in our hearts. Every Christian who is saved has the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And as God works in our heart, He causes us to grow in grace. We could say, for example, if I slugged Pastor Furso and he did not slug me back, you would say, boy, he was a gracious fella. Let's see how much grace he has. You want to? You'd say, boy, that was gracious. And you know why some people can be reviled against, but they can still react in calmness? Because they've grown in grace. It's a spiritual attribute, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But wait a minute, so is giving. And giving is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, I want to hold it tight in my hand. That's what I want to do. But the Holy Spirit creates a new disposition within me that says, I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. And that disposition of the Holy Spirit must begin in the individual heart. And there is great power in the choice of every believer and the choices that are made within the heart. And every choice that you make is a direct reflection of your values and of what you think is important in this life. And so we see that every man is to purpose in his heart. And I believe that as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he was saying, look, all of you can do something. Everyone needs to be a part. If it was today to buy a car, we'd muster up $1,000. Or to buy a house, we'd muster up 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever. You see, everyone has a priority and a value system in life. And the Bible says, everyone, when it comes to the priorities of the work of God, should also purpose in their heart to do something. Notice the term purpose. I'm saying today that there's a decision that will be made in the heart of every member and friend of Lancaster Baptist Church. To purpose in the heart. To get ready. To say, all right, I'll be a part. Notice we must purpose with the right attitude. The Bible says in verse number 7, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. God says, now don't give with a bad attitude. Don't give like you're getting ripped off. Don't give as though you just hate it. But give, the Bible says in verse number 7, with a cheerful heart, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful means hilarious. You know, I can tell as I preach in churches around in different meetings and so forth, I can always tell the strength of the church or the kind of church it is by the attitude during offering time. There seem to be two different kinds of attitudes. First of all, there's the attitude of the guy who pulls out his dollar bill and the usher standing down at the end of the pew, and that's when he starts to sweat. And pretty soon he gets out that $1 bill and he starts talking to it. Well, George, it's been a good time. I worked 6 minutes for you. Got a union job. Here comes the plate, George. Here it comes. Oh, shucks. And they throw it in the plate. Then there's other churches. It's time for the offering. People say, hey, man. People smile, excited. It's a sign of a church that's growing in grace, by the way. You often click, man, here it comes. Hey, here it comes, Brother Schmidt. Woo, man, I'm going to plop it in today. That's what the Bible calls hilarious giving. Cheerful giving. I'll never forget the last banquet we had, which was 2 full years, 24 months ago. Long time ago. It was not year ago, it was years ago when we had that last banquet. It was exciting. You know, I mean, there were so many exciting aspects. You know, one was husbands and wives being in agreement. Look, little lady, don't decide, I'll bust God, I'll be a thorn in his flesh. No. Just start praying. Husbands and wives, pray separately for a while. Pray together for a while. And let God do something special in your hearts together. You know, it's exciting to see these banquets. Here they come, couples deciding not to have a new car or new furniture, whatever, and they're coming hand in hand in agreement to do something great for God. Then, crazy thing, Antelope Valley Inn, 500 and some people in there, man, we're singing, doing skits, having all kinds of fun and preaching and so forth. Then the offering comes, and man, we just give until it hurts. Just give it away. And you know, I've been to churches where people after that, they just walk out like it's a funeral. I can't believe I gave the whole thing. I can't believe I did that. Listen, you would have to see it to believe it. People walked out that envoy, man, give it, hey, high five, man, glory to God, man. You would have thought we just won the Super Bowl or something. Man, people just hugging each other. Man, I had some hugs I'm still trying to recover from on that night. Crying and thanking God. Man, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. I really believe God looked down from heaven and said, hey, I love that down there. That's great. They're giving their hearts and souls and their finances, and they're happy about it too. God loves a cheerful giver, someone said. Money is so intimately related to the possessor that we cannot give money without giving ourselves. For me as a pastor, I realize we need a new auditorium. We have one being, architects are drawing it right now, and 2,500 seats and expandable even up to 4,000 seats. And that's an exciting thought. But I'm going to tell you, honestly, that's not the most exciting thing for me. The most exciting thing for me as a pastor is the spiritual development of God's people, to see them grow in grace to the point that they say, Lord, yes, this money is a part of me, but I want to give me to you. Amen. And what a tremendous spiritual growth takes place in the life of a Christian as that process unfolds. Grace giving is purposeful. It is someone saying, I love the Lord. I am purposing to be a part of this in a great way because of my love for Him. So, grace giving is prepared. Grace giving is purposeful. Thirdly, grace giving is perpetual. The word perpetual means lasting for eternity. And I want you to see the everlasting results from this life and for all of eternity when we're a part of something like this. It is much different, my friend, than any other thing that we can be a part of supporting. Verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency, notice the tremendous eternals in this verse, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Paul said, you get involved in this, you're going to see blessings for a long time from it. So what kind of blessings have you seen? Good night. I remember when we came to this church, 12 people voted us to be the pastor, came down, had 13 in Sunday school, 20-some in church that first morning. Now, I mean, it was sort of a bleak start in some regard. Went out door knocking that first week, knocked on doors, invited people to church. People looked at me like I was some guy from Mars, it felt like. I kept getting lost trying to go to all these different places around here and trying to figure out where to go. Now, I got to tell you the honest truth. I did not have very many people, if but one or two that first week, that said they would even come. And I didn't have anybody say, well, God bless you, young man, for coming here to this Antelope Valley. In fact, most people weren't very friendly about it. Say, see, that goes to show you. You gave your savings. You gave up a nice job up in a church in Northern California. Came down. What happened? You know what happened that first time? By the way, God doesn't always bless you financially. You know what happened that first time? Saturday, after I was out all week trying to lead someone to Christ, no one seemed to want to listen to me. I came home, and my seven-year-old daughter said, Daddy, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. She's the very first person we baptized in this church. Hey, how do you put a price on that?
I just see that there's a perpetual blessing of being a part of the work of God. Financially, yes, but in many spiritual and more important ways as well. Notice here, if you would, grace giving is perpetual, and God's grace is sufficient to help you get in on the first swing of it. Notice he says in verse number 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Someone might be here this morning and say, I would give, but I do not have sufficient resources. Wait a minute, God is able. That's what this is all about. God is able. There are some here in this room who can see sufficient resources to do great things. You can see it. You know you can do it. There are others today who honestly can't do that. That's why we don't say, everyone, it's $1,000 a plate. That would not be fair. There are some that are going to struggle to give hundreds, and others who would not have to struggle at all to give thousands. We don't have equal giving. We have equal sacrifice. That's what God's Word teaches us in chapter 8. And we see here in the Word of God that there is a God who is able to make all grace abound. In other words, He's commanded you to grow in this grace. So don't you think if God commands you to grow in this grace, He's able to help you grow in this grace? He is able. He is able to help you to grow in this grace. I think of the widow in Mark chapter 12. The widow's mite story is familiar to all of us. Jesus said concerning that lady, for they all cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Jesus said some people just flipped in their spare change and it looked like a lot, but this lady gave, she gave just a few, just about one-eighth of a cent, and it was just all she had, but God said she made the greater sacrifice. God supplied for that widow. God supplied for the widow at Zarephath. God fed 2 million Jews wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Every day He fed them. I've got news for you. God is able to provide for you as well. I think of the story of that little lad when Jesus fed the 5,000. That little fella, he heard that there was a need for food. He had his lunch with him. He had on that day 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Today it would have probably been 2 Twinkies, a ding-dong, and some pudding. You should see the kids in our Christian school trade. They'll trade anything for chocolate pudding and ding-dongs. And you should try to get some of them to give that up. There's no way. I don't care if there's 5,000 people starving or not. I'm going to tell you something. When there was a need, that little boy, he said, this is all I have, Lord. What happened? He began to grow in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And God's grace did a work. And he said, it's all I have, but it's yours, Lord. And you know what happened? That gift became a perpetual gift that fed 5,000 people. And it has fed the faith of God's people for 2,000 years. Grace giving is perpetual. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace multiplies the giving and the gift. Notice in verse number 10, the Bible says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Here we see that money is likened to a seed which multiplies. Can I share something with you this morning? Giving to the work of God is just as scriptural as singing songs to the Lord. And we've got a lot of Christians that, yeah, let's sing some praise songs. Take an offering? We've got a lot of hand wavers that need to do some hand waving during the offering, I think. You see, the truth of the matter is in the Word of God that giving is a part of the Christian life. Listen, it's just as spiritual as passing out a tract. It's just as spiritual as teaching a Sunday school class. If it's done in the name of the Lord and your heart is growing in grace and you're giving to the work of God, it is a vital part of the Christian life. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give to your bosom. For the same measure, with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. God says, your giving is perpetual. You give, I'm going to give back. I like what one old preacher said years ago. He said, God shovels it in, I shovel it out. God shovels it in, I shovel it out. Then he smiled and he said, and God's got a bigger shovel than I do. And he does. Giving is perpetual. Our giving causes others then to glorify God. Verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints. He says, now this offering, it's going to take care of the needs of the church, the wants of the saints. But he said, it's going to do more than that. He says, it is abundant also by the many thanksgiving unto God. He says, now as you give this offering, not only is the ministry going to go forward, and not only are you going to receive perpetual blessings from it, but there will be perpetual praise to God because of the offering. Do you know what I do every day when I come to this church? I come to this church house and I see this building, which it just seems to get smaller to me every day, by the way. I remember how mammoth it was at first. But I come up and every day I say, praise the Lord for this building. Praise the Lord for this 20 acres. By the way, visitors, there's 20 more in escrow this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord for this 40 acres here. Thank God for it. You see, the reason we're here today is because of God's people who grew in grace, who sacrificed. I know of one family, I went to their house for dinner 3 years in a row. We didn't sit at the dining table, we sat in the family room. They said, we're going to get a dining room as soon as that church gets built. And every year, the amount that it would have taken for a complete dining set went to the work of the Lord. Last year, I hope they got their dining set because we got to get this church built now. But I'll be glad to eat in the family room. You see, we're here today giving thanks for a building because of someone's gift 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. More importantly than that, we're here today glorifying God for what He's done through us over these past several years. So He says here in verse number 12, also by many thanksgivings unto God. There are people in this community and people across the country that we know who glorify God for what is being done here in this place. And it is because of the fact that giving to the work of God brings perpetual blessings of various natures. God's allowing us to give causes for reasons of rejoicing in the future. It's like this. You go into a restaurant. You go to a restaurant this afternoon, you will either be the source of joy or the source of grief for a waitress. I was talking with a waitress some time ago. She said, my least favorite time to work is Sunday afternoon. She said, Friday night and Saturday night, man, those guys come in with those paychecks and they order up those steaks. She said, they laid down a tip. She said, I'm going to tell you, the most bossy bunch of people are those church people on Sunday afternoons. She said, they come in here, they tell me what they want, how they want it. They're belligerent to me. And then they don't leave a tip. Or they leave a small tip. We cause joy or grief. Now, no members of Lancaster Baptist would ever do that. By the way, I like to leave a gospel tract at the table. Let me encourage you, don't leave a 10-cent tip in a gospel tract from this church, all right? I'll never get a chance to witness to the little lady. Listen, as we come together on March 17th and participate together, we will either cause disappointment or great joy throughout God's kingdom. And Paul is saying, as you do a great job, and what's going to happen is there will be many thanksgivings unto God for what takes place. Grace giving does not look for a reason or a way out, but grace giving looks for an opportunity to meet a need that will be perpetually something that brings glory to God in the future. Let's sum it up. Notice, if you would, in verse 15. Paul, he's tried to explain giving. He's tried to get them to grow in this grace. Finally, in verse 15, he just says it this way. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Just in case Paul could say there's someone in the church at Corinth that's just wondering why, and why is he talking about making up the bounty and getting ready, and man, two whole chapters of the Bible all about grace giving. And Paul says, now, as I draw this to a close, by the way, in case you're thinking, I don't think I should have to give that much, Paul says, by the way, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. What was that gift, someone might ask? Oh, listen. No price could ever be put on that gift. That gift was simply found in the fact that one day an eternal God, a perfect God, determined with His Son, Jesus Christ being all-powerful, having all the attributes of God, being equal with God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, determining there with God the Father that He would come down and be born of the Virgin. He would live on this old sinful and wicked world. He would walk the dusty streets of this world. He would be tempted in all points like as we are tempted, yet He would be without sin. Jesus Christ, who is there in God's eternal heaven with the streets of gold and all of the wonderful blessings and all of the great praise that was given to Him by the angels, without sin, without sorrow, without tears, without pain, He came down and He suffered sorrow and He shed tears and He hung on a cross and He suffered pain and He shed His blood so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. There had to be a payment for our sin because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can try to be a good person and you can try to get up to God, but God says you still fall short by yourself, so I'll send my Son to bridge the gap. And so the Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if you're here this morning and you have never received Christ as Savior, you're not sure that your sins are forgiven and you're not sure that you would go to heaven someday, may I share something with you? And I mean this from the depths of my heart. We don't want one penny from you, but we would beg you today to come to that place in your heart where you'd say, I cannot save myself, but if God gave me that kind of an unspeakable gift, I want to receive it as my very own today. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We were unworthy, but He came anyways to save us from our sins. As we close, would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32? Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. As we think about the subject of giving, grace giving, and as we think about the fact that God so loved the world that He gave of His only begotten Son, we see the standard whereby we measure our gifts. It's not what someone else does, but it's what God has already done. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, He that spared not His own Son. Folks, how do you describe that kind of love? How do you describe that kind of giving? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. And notice it, for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I see that Jesus Christ was given as a gift to me. I see that God continues giving to His children. Whether your need today is salvation, God says, I've taken care of that. You can come to my Son and be saved. Whether your need today is the ability to give and to be a part of God's work, God's Word says He will freely give and provide for you as well. You see, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life, and Jesus Christ will meet any need that we have today as we obey His Word and as we grow in His grace. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that we can be here this morning and that we can learn about the grace of giving. And really, the best thing we can do when we think about learning this grace is to think about the cross, Calvary. And Lord, when we think about You walking up Golgotha's hill with that cross on Your shoulder, when we think about those nails being driven into Your hands, the crown of thorns upon Your head and the nails into Your feet, Father, when we think of that picture, we realize we're very silly to not be willing to do our very best for You. Anyone in here who's ever prayed, Lord, save me. Lord, help us then who are saved to grow in grace and to be willing to be a part. And Lord, help us to trust that You'll provide a way. Help us not to shrink in grace. Help us to grow in grace. Our heads are bowed this morning and our eyes are closed. Grace giving. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. I wonder how many are here in this room today. And you could say, Pastor Chappell, there has been a time in my life when I realized that I was a sinner and I experienced God's saving grace. I accepted Jesus Christ personally as my Savior. I know that I'm saved. And on my way to heaven, I know what that unspeakable gift is all about. I have received it personally. I'm saved because of it. Could you just lift your hand this morning as a testimony? I'm saved because of it. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. That's a wonderful sight. God bless you. May put your hands down. I wonder how many are here with us this morning. Maybe you've been here before. Maybe you're here for the first time. And you would just simply say this morning, Pastor Chapel, you mentioned about the unspeakable gift of Christ and His salvation. I do not know that I've ever received it. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been to Vacation Bible School, catechism, you've received communion, but still in your heart of hearts, you're not sure that your sins have been forgiven. And you do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And I wonder if you're here this morning and you just would let me pray with you. You'd say, Pastor Chapel, I do not know that I've ever received that unspeakable gift. I need to do that. I need to know more about it. I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand right now that we might just pray for you? Just slip it up quietly. No one's looking but myself. I'd like to pray for you. Is there, all right, God bless you, sir. Is there someone else that would say, Pastor Chapel, I need to receive, God bless you, sir, and God bless you, ma'am, on my right, and God bless you, sir, and God bless you, sir, on my right, and you, ma'am, as well. You may put your hands down. God bless you on my far right as well. Is there anyone else in this auditorium? I see your hand in the back, young lady. Is there someone else this morning? God bless you, ma'am. Is there someone else this morning? Now, with no one looking around, let me just take a moment right now. If you just raise your hand, would you just look up at me? No one else. Just those of you that raise your hand, just look right up here. I just want to visit with you. In just a moment, we're all going to stand, and we do this every Sunday. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to have what we call an invitation. That means we're going to invite you to come. Our pastors are going to stand down here. Ladies will be here, and men will be here. A man will counsel with a couple, a lady with a lady, a man with a man. And we'd like to take the Bible this morning and just explain to you that gift, that it's free and how you can receive it and how you can have Christ as your personal Savior. It's the greatest thing you could ever do. And in a moment when we stand, our folks will let you out. Just slip out to the side areas or slip out to the aisles and just come right to the front and tell one of the pastors that you'd like to become a Christian. You'd like to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, and we'll be glad to help you. Thank you. May put your heads back down. God bless you. How many are here this morning and you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I've never seen giving like this. In fact, I've always been a bit nervous about it. And I'm not going to ask you this morning, nor will I ever ask you regarding any amount. That's not my place. But I wonder how many are here today and just say, Pastor, I will just say this. God is working in my heart, and I'm understanding what grace is, and I want to grow in this grace too. And God is speaking to me about growing in this grace and in regard to the upcoming days of our church. Pastor, pray with me as I grow this way. Would you lift your hand as a Christian this morning? God is growing you in this realm. All right, that's a blessing. God bless you. May I put your hands down? Many have already been growing. Others stay learning, and that's what God has for us at church. Father, thank you for this time to grow in grace, to grow in an understanding of how we can participate. Thank you that you are able. Even when we're not able, Lord, we know that you are able. We just pray that you would bless now in this invitation time. Some Christians may just want to pray about the subject at hand today, giving. But Lord, most importantly, there are others today that need to come. They don't need to give, they need to receive.